ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter number 14, and text number 5. Yavad Artham Upasinah Dehe Dehe Cha Panditaha Vikrataha Raktavat Tatra Nirloke Naratam Nyasit Yavanarthamupasino Dehege Chapanditaham Virapto Raktavat Tatra Nirloke Naratam Nyasit Yavanarthamupasino Dehe Dehe Cha Pandita Virapto Raktavat Tatra Nirloke Naratam Nyasit Yavadartham. As much endeavor for one's livelihood as necessary. Upasinaha, earning, dehe, in the body, dehe, in the family matters, cha, also, panditaha, one who is learned, viraktaha, not at all attached, raktavat, as if very much attached, tatra, in this nirloke, human society, naratam, the human form of life, nyasit, one should depict. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to family affairs, although externally appearing very much attached. This is the picture of ideal family life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai about the goal of life, Ramananda Rai described it in different ways according to the recommendation of the revealed scriptures. And finally, Sri Ramananda Rai explained that one may stay in his own position, whether as a Brahmana, Shudra, Sannyasi, or whatever. But one must try to inquire about life's goal, Athato Brahmachityasa. This is the proper utilization of the human form of life. When one misuses the gift of human form by unnecessarily indulging in animal propensities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and does not try to get out of the clutches of Maya, which subjects one to repeated birth, death, old age and disease, one is again punished by being forced to descend to the lower species and undergo evolution according to the laws of nature. Prakriti kri karmani gunin karmani sarvasaha. Being completely under the grip of material nature, the living entity must evolve again and the lower species to the higher species until he at last returns to human life and gets the chance to be freed from the material clutches. A wise man, however, learns from the shastras and guru that we are living entities and are all eternal, but are put into troublesome condition because of associating with different modes under the laws of material nature. He therefore concludes that in the human form of life, he should not endeavor for unnecessary necessities, but should live a very simple life, just maintaining body and soul together. Certainly, one requires some means of livelihood, and according to one's varna and ashram, this means of livelihood is prescribed in the Shastras. One should be satisfied with this. Therefore, instead of hankering for more and more money, a sincere devotee of the Lord tries to invent some ways to earn his livelihood, and when he does so, Krishna helps him. Earning one's livelihood, therefore, is not a problem. The real problem is how to get free from the bondage of birth, death, and old age. Attaining this freedom and not inventing unnecessary necessities is basic principle of civilization. One should be satisfied with whatever means of life comes automatically. The modern materialistic civilization is just the opposite of the ideal civilization. Every day the so-called leaders of the modern society invent something contributing to a cumbersome way of life that implicates people more and more in the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshur Militan Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Enama. This is a very pivotal verse that Narad Muni is describing in the ideal household of life, that even though while remaining very active, earning his livelihood according to his means, and acting like an expert engaged in karmic activity, yet internally he has to detach himself. Without this due process, one's life is doomed. It's an art of living, and every devotee is expected to live a life of detachment. Detachment is an internal thing, not external thing. Here the advice is externally we have to be very active, as if expertly entangled in the activity. But at the same time, one should cultivate an internal detachment from even the modes of material nature that impels us to work in our ways. That the idea is that how to cultivate this internal situation of detachment. That is the real question. Unless and until one becomes introspective, one is not able to do it. And introspection is a very serious process. The external, the inspecting everything is an extrospection, and it doesn't help us much because five senses will be engaged in looking at the thing in their own way and giving their own interpreted information. So the soul gets bewildered within the activities of the senses. Some of the senses will, like eyes, may like more than what a person wants to hear. So simply by external attraction means that when the eyes become a predominant role player, when one is attached to the objects of his vision, then he will be entrapped. He likes only certain kind of standard, say beauty, or anything external. But actually when we see that this is all an external situation where different standards are observed by different people, you know. Previously, just like, say, beauty contest was conducted. Nowadays, a complete different standard of beauty's measurement is there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, beauty is estimated on the shyness and the cultured values a girl has, received from the training by her mother or the family members. So, internal beauty is the accumulation of these virtues. Krishna himself says that I am present in the female body as Sri, Vak, Kshama, Druti. And the fifth one is but anyway, in Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am residing in the female body, and Sri means beauty is there, but Vak means Vacha. Kshama is the property of beauty. A person who may not be externally beautiful but has developed the quality of forbearance, and she can pardon or give benefit of doubt and does not take any kind of reaction. So that forbearance is kshama. And that is the virtue of Krishna. So, development of internal beauty depends upon the Vedic virtues invested in the upbringing of the girl child. If it is not there, and one makes it outright, like an independent thinking, independently, mixing with other peer groups and this and that, it will completely spoil, because there the effect of modes will be overpowering than cultivation of the virtues that one has obtained through the good family, ideal family. So, and this is very important, that it is the internal culture. Vedic culture is not an external tradition. It is the development of internal values. And the girl has to be trained, because she is the forbearance of the religion. She will be well versed in every aspect of household life. It's a big endeavor to cultivate a cultured girl, so she can carry on the respected functions in the life. So it is not invested in a man. The man is supposed to be under direct supervision of the guru, so he will be guided and he will be channelized to gear his attention always on Krishna. And he might have to face, while working outside, so many different situations. So he will take a decision according to the guru's advice, not independently. And because he is Krishna conscious, in the sense that, yes, he understands the ideology of Krishna consciousness, he will guide others. But his function as the provider will be measured upon how much one has detached himself. One may be a provider externally, but internally he should provide all opportunities to stay in Krishna consciousness. A head of household thus bears also equal, if not more, responsibilities, because he is supposed to lead everyone for liberation. Otherwise, what is the function to become a father, a mother, a guru, or even a relative? If one is not prepared to deliver his dependent from the clutches of death. The virtues will always give a better opportunity to be liberated. Those who have not good virtues, they are entangled in the effects of the modes, and it's difficult for them to come out. So it is very interesting that this instructions become the cardinal principle for the Vibhrashram system. They cannot be ignored. Right. Well, some adjustment has been made. We have been referring to the North American team of Ideal Grihastha formation and their suggestion. There is one suggestion about that it is not restricting us from our occupation, that what we have been trained for, but at the same time it must be conducive to Krishna consciousness. If our occupation is not conducive to Krishna consciousness, then you may change it. But nonetheless, the responsibility of maintaining the household will be there. Right? There is nothing shameful about it. But then when it comes for making money or accumulating money, which is forbidden by atyahar, means over eating or over accumulating the resources, which are called to be another external elements of entanglement. Accumulation is apparently requires much more involvement than entanglement. So such acquisitions become a burden. And one becomes engaged in perplexities of how to use it, how not to use it. They are attached to it and they don't want to give it up, or even they won't share it within the family. The attachment becomes so much strong. So it is advised that live a simple life. Try to earn as much necessary to maintain body and soul together. But it is not only your body and your soul together. And every member of the family have come to fulfill their desires, and we are facilitating. The head of the household has to facilitate the fulfillment of the desire of every member. And then he has to use his expertise also. So it is advised that to save money and engage money for raising the children and their welfare has to be seen. So it's a detailed understanding, but it is not crossing over the over-accumulation aspect. You follow? You have to earn the money for future of the children, because you have brought them. So therefore the obligation to raise them in Krishna consciousness, and then you have to help them to start their own lives in Krishna consciousness. Even in inheritance aspect, this has been, said that involve your children in your own occupation. In your own occupation. Do not give them liberty to become this or that. Then you will be in problem, that there is no inheritance, that your business or other things, that the kids will continue. How to handle that? Many parents are facing this problem that the kids are not interested in business but to go for they think highly motivated jobs of electronics and computer, this and that. But it's all risky. The family traditions are also lost if the kids accept different line of earning method. Sometimes it works because the business is not profitable. Then naturally you have to change it, right? But when the entanglement situation is there, this point has to be understood that the detachment will not be easy for such a family where, say, business is running from tradition from grandfathers to father, and now he has to take up and he's not at all interested, you know. But then he has to establish an equivalent or ideal maintenance of the future participants in the family. Unless and until that balance is there, so the business may be running as a boost or buffer, a buffer in case of emergency. So there is what we call healthy investment, but remain detached. You may keep as an asset that will help in future, but at the same time, before you pass away, you have to pass on. You have to give it up. Otherwise, even in very poor, dilapidated property can have also so much fight in India. Oh my God, few brothers, some little piece of land, and they all want to converge. This is all due to the attachment. Attachment occurs due to ignorance. Not knowing the principles of ideal family life. People just want to go according to the bent of the society. Bent of the society is a wholesale effect of these modes. People want to be sense gratifiers, so the society becomes sense gratifier. So it is difficult to save the children. So the most important thing is that if we go through these instructions and try to understand the application in life, and devotees are working hard to incorporate the principles also in details, not only principles as an abstract indications or rules. So I will stop here. We can discuss is it time?
We're standing in the time, 15 minutes they can speak on.
Oh, so it's already 7:15.
Yeah, but they need to open at 7:30
today. Okay. So I'll speak for 5 minutes in conclusion. So Srila Prabhupada is referring to the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. In the beginning, Ramananda Rai is suggesting that the best occupation for this ideal grihastha grihastha ashram is like following varnashram. Varnashram especially is meant as the first step. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. No, you tell me something. That this is not spiritual, it is a material management, material arrangement. And people get entangled. This is not the goal of life. Goal of life will be again based on the verdict of the Shastra. So, Grihastha Ashram is normally in the Vedic times it was meant for detachment and ideally functioning for the propagation, because becoming a Prajapati, that was the main system to become Prajapati. It means increase the population. But this Prajapati system is now condemned in this modern time. Prajapati system is condemned in modern times. Overpopulating, polygamy, and this and that. So many things. Prabhupada said in Vedic times polygamy was advised. You know. But at the same time, Prabhupada is not promoting polygamy in this life, in these times. He is very clear. People do not understand. So, but Prajapati, for becoming a father or mother for hundreds of children at a time and raising them up, what a great potency does it require, and there's so much entanglement also. It's too difficult to raise one child in Kali Yuga. You know, what to speak on the other time. You can't imitate, but one must be able to provide. So they must have either the prowess by their austere living, the prowess which has been endowed by their proper understanding and meditation. They are the great rishis. They understood that, like Kardamuni. Kardamuni is a great ascetic who was always carrying the Lord in his heart while meditating. And he was very famous. That he is a pure devotee of the Lord. And Manu Maharaj came with his daughter Devahuti and offered her. And Manu Maharaj said, because you have desired to enter into the household life, I have brought my daughter. She is more qualified for you. She is qualified and will be an ideal. So, what was the consideration for the idealism at that time? Kardamuni admits, yes, Manu Maharaj, I have not thought of lifelong celibacy. Because my father begot me, Brahma begot me, well before even Manu was begot by Brahma, Manu and Shatrupa. And he was much more elder. There was no consideration of age even. But the potency and of the progeny will be estimated on the foundation of cultivation of this Vedic culture. And with the aim of liberation, even Devahuti is intelligent. She knows what her fate would be and what she has to do. So, Kardamuni was ready. He utilizes his siddhi and offered in service to fulfill the desire of his wife. People may say that, oh, it is sense gratification. He's only a person living in the jungle. Why does he have to create the big mansion and that is also floating with fountains and swans and everybody, you know. And then he wants to take her to honeymoon all the way to universal. And then expands himself into eight, means himself plus eight expansions, begot simultaneously nine daughters in Devahuti. People who are obsessed with attached Rajoguna and effects of Rajoguna, they were always thinking something, what do you call it? Creepy entangling situations. Not knowing that Devahuti nullifies those thoughts of such creepy people by asking Kardamuni for one more. For what? She said, my dear Lord, these nine girls, you know, they will go to their own home. And there won't be anybody for me for my liberation. Can you make some arrangement? Can you ask your Lord to come and preach me? I know you are going away. But do this thing first. You know. And Kardamuni requested the Lord to help him out. So this is the climax of detachment. Not an attachment situation. So, the idealism is something that cannot be imitated in this time and place. But at the same time, idealism is for continuing of all the virtues that is required. Person should not forget that our human form of life is meant for liberating from once and all. But while performing the duties, because these are the duties of the body. And if one is engrossed in Bhogeshwari Prasaktanam Taya Apratachetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhauna Vidhiyate, those who are attached to sense gratifying activities, for them the conclusive intelligence of soul's occupation or a resolute determination towards that will never arise. Because it's one, and hold it to one. You can't hold too many. Because such intelligence is one, get that intelligence and never give it up. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeh kuru nandana bahushakha hirantascha buddhayo avyavasayana. Why Bahushaka? So many branched intelligence will be there because it's trapped into entanglement. That's how, you know, the principles should remain intact. Application may a little vary, but we have to fulfill it before we leave the body. Alright, so we keep some time for questions. Yes.
I was thinking about what you were saying about Devahuti and how Kardama Muni created, you know, the big palace in the air and all these things, and the reason why. And something that came to mind was as a form of reciprocation for her chastity and her service, and that it seems to correlate to how, you know, when we're practicing devotional service, that Krishna does that he reciprocates. It's not about the opulence, it's about the affection.
But at the same time, reciprocation between husband and wife. Kardamani knew that she is the daughter of Manu Maharaj. Who is Manu? He's the ruler of the entire universe. Even though she was married in her hermitage and she was residing, she was so faithful and chaste. And that she never looked for herself. And as soon as after marriage, Kardamuni was meditating. And it took so much time when he realized, and meditation broke, he came to see Devahuti completely emaciated. You know, and he immediately could not recognize, but then he realizes, yes, the Sri Devi, she is so chaste. She did not ask. Right? So I have yet, my function as the head of the household has to be done. He is asking towards that yes, he was married to her. So in this conversation between Devahuti and Kardamuni, Kardamuni asked, did you fail to observe some Vedic etiquette? Like when the guests came and you were not able to serve, so by their curse, this is the situation you occurred into? Devahuti does not respond, but responds with sign of shyness. That's not the reason. That's not the reason. That's not the reason. And that virtue of shyness is extremely important, which is absent in today's virtue. It is absent. But still, we need to look into that. Because it's natural investment of Krishna's potency in the women. That's why I cited that Dejikshamadruti. All these virtues are so much important that every mother has to train a girl to preserve this God-given potencies. Anything else?
Some may argue that in the modern world it's so hard to get to these standards of Vedic Dhyani Varnashram that the most important thing at this point is simply to propagate the chanting Hare Krishna and hope that people become purified and take up the process of devotion. So
yes, but that doesn't... the effect of chanting Hare Krishna is certainly purification and can give liberation also. However we chant. That is the promise. But at the same time, and how much seriousness are we continuing the process? Even though Abha's name will be chanted. But the main point is that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, engagement in our service to Krishna, his instruction, reading Bhagavatam daily, will invest in us, in our heart, the standard that we can anticipate, and then try in that reference by cultivation of humility, perseverance, all these things. But it's a go-ahead program, not immediately end of it. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, it's